And so God, this is the last plague, and this will be most severe. And yet God makes a provision. As he says it here in chapter 11, there'll be a distinction between Israel and Egypt. So God makes a provision for his people Israel. And so we read over in chapter 12 what that provision looks like. Verse 3 of chapter 12, God says, on the 10th of the month, you're each to take a lamb for yourselves, according to your father's household, a lamb for each household. Down to verse 5, he says, your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. God is speaking to Israel. This is God's people. A male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. So this lamb, they're to kill it, and they were going to eat it. And then they're going to take the blood. Specifically, verse 7 tells us, they'll take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. Look down to verse 12 of Exodus 12. For I will go through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike down all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And that's why this event is referred to as Passover, because the angel of death would pass over the houses of Israel where the blood was on the doorpost and on the lintel of the houses. And of course, we know the rest of the story after this last plague, that the firstborn in all the land of Egypt is killed, and Pharaoh finally relents and he lets God's people go. And they go out of the land en masse, and Pharaoh ends up chasing them. They go to the Red Sea, and of course, God opens the Red Sea before them. They cross the Red Sea, and the whole Egyptian army is drowned. It's an amazing deliverance for the nation of Israel. But it begins at this event, this evening of Passover. So significant is this event in the life of the nation that God says, you know, I'm going to change the whole calendar, of the whole Hebrew calendar. Look at back at Exodus 12, verse 2. God says to Moses and Aaron, he says, this month shall be the beginning of months for you. It is to be the first month of the year to you. From now on, this would be the first month of their calendar, and they would celebrate yearly on an annual basis this celebration of Passover. For the people of Israel, Passover meant salvation. Passover was God's salvation. Now, the whole Exodus is a story of God's salvation from Egypt, God bringing the people out of Egypt. They were saved from bondage to slavery in Egypt. But specifically in this story of Passover, what is the salvation from? What do we see salvation from in this passage in particular? Notice what it says in verse 13 of Exodus 12. He says, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when you see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy when I strike the land of Egypt. Similarly, look over in verse 23 of Exodus 12. Moses is reiterating to the people, and he says, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. This is salvation from destruction. This is salvation from judgment. This is salvation from what was called here the destroyer. Israel herself, we see in this passage, God saves Israel, but Israel herself is liable to be destroyed. Israel herself is in a place of danger, if you will. And God says, you put the blood on the doorposts and lintels so that when the angel sees that blood, he will not come in, he will not strike you. And so God gives salvation to his people. They have salvation from this destroying angel. Notice here, like Egypt herself, though Israel is distinguished from Egypt, like Egypt, Israel needs salvation. Israel needs a sacrifice. Israel needs a lamb. Israel needs blood on the doorpost and lintel. This isn't the story of Israel, the perfect good guys, and Egypt, the terrible bad guys, and just because Israel's good, God's going to let them go, and Egypt is going to be judged. No. This is a story, yes, of God's judgment on Egypt, but also it's a story of God's, that God had to provide a sacrifice to save Israel. That without that sacrifice, Israel too would rightly be judged by God, because Israel too was a sinful people, as becomes very evident later on in their history. And God would make very clear to Israel that they need a sacrifice, they need a lamb, they need other sacrifices to save them. So this story is a story of God's salvation that he provided to Israel. And that salvation was realized particularly in the lamb, and the lamb's blood on the doorposts to guard them from the angel of death, so the angel would pass over. Let's fast forward now back to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22, this is the meal Jesus is observing with his disciples. Look at Luke 22, verse 14. When the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover before you, with you before I suffer. Jesus is earnestly desiring to eat this meal. For every Jewish person, the Passover was huge in their history. The Passover was what defined them as a people. It was God's salvation in their past that set them apart from all other nations and made them free, made them God's people. God confirmed that they were his people. Jesus says, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This would be the last meal Jesus would have, Passover Jesus would have with his followers before he went to the cross. Verse 16, he says, for I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Jesus is looking forward to a day when someday in God's kingdom, what Passover signified, the salvation of God from both from people's sin and from bondage, in every aspect, God's salvation will be fully realized, will be fulfilled. Someday, we would know God's peace perfectly. We would know perfect freedom, perfect peace, perfect, no more sin, no more destruction, no more death, no more dying, no more mourning. Jesus says, this is the last time I will eat this meal that's all about God's salvation. It's the last time I will eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he says in verse 17, and when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. In a traditional Jewish Passover, there would be four cups that would be passed around in the course of the meal. So we don't know exactly what cup this is. Luke leaves out a lot of the details, but this is one of the earlier cups because Jesus is going to pass around another cup later on in the meal. But he passes around this cup. He says, drink from it. And he says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. So again, Jesus is looking forward to that day when we're going to know all God's salvation completely. We're going to completely know his peace, his freedom in every area of our lives. Up until this point, perhaps the disciples would not have been at all surprised. They've done this many times before. They're observing a Passover meal. They know what it's about. They're looking back to the Lamb. They're remembering God's salvation from Egypt. They're remembering how he saved them from the death angel. They're remembering God's amazing work in the history of their nation that made them a people. And so here, even in this meal now, Jesus has, they've been remembering, they've been passing around. Jesus has been looking forward also to God's coming in the kingdom at the end of time. But then in verse 19, what Jesus says in verse 19 is unique. And certainly none of the disciples would not have been able to grasp fully what Jesus was bringing at that point. They did not realize fully what Jesus was doing at this point. Look at verse 19. And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Up until this point, Jesus and his followers have been remembering Passover night. And this is a special meal designed to help God's people remember God's salvation. And as I thought back to that Passover night, it was most centrally the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb that by which God's people were saved. Understand what Jesus is doing here in verses 19 and 20. Remember, this is no ordinary meal. He doesn't say, let's come, let's celebrate communion. He doesn't say, come, let's celebrate the Lord's Supper. He says, let's celebrate a Passover meal. And he takes these Passover elements. He's not making up new elements. He's not saying, well, my body's kind of like, you could compare it to bread. My blood, you can compare it to wine. No, he's taking old and honored elements. These are elements that would have been used in Passover meals. He's taking these things that people knew. They're thinking bread. Okay, this is the bread that our forefathers had to eat in haste in order to get out of Egypt. This is the cup that was passed around in our Passover meal, perhaps signifying the blood of the lamb that was put on the doorpost. We know what this is about. And Jesus takes these elements and he says, this bread is my body. This cup is my blood. You see what Jesus is doing? Before the eyes of his followers, he's saying, all these symbols that you have known for so long and have been so rich in the nation's history have meant that lamb so long ago, all along, those symbols were pointing to me. Truly, these symbols are about me. This is my body. This is my blood. Yes, it was about the Lamb. It was about God's salvation He provided through that Lamb. But ultimately, it's about me. It's about the salvation that God is going to provide through me. Jesus isn't making up something new here. This is not a totally new idea. He's taking this Passover idea, and he's saying, that was all about me. This is my body which is given for you. The Lamb, yes, the Lamb of your history gave its life, but only I can truly and fully take your sins away. This is my body, so do this in remembrance of me, not just in remembrance of that Lamb that was from thousands of years ago. Do this in remembrance of me. The people had always remembered the Lamb. They'd always remembered how God had provided back in their history. And now God's, as if Jesus is saying, I am the Lamb. I am the Lamb. What you've been celebrating all along was really about me. And so this meal becomes so much more than simply looking back to the Exodus, simply looking back to that Passover night. Now, for the first time, Jesus tells his followers that this meal should look back to him. It's not that Passover has no meaning. Passover is rich and full of meaning, and we need to understand it. But Jesus is saying, the most important thing, what you need to know at this Passover, that salvation, God's salvation, what that Passover meal signified for you, God's salvation comes through me, through my body broken, through my blood shed. So he says, this is verse 20, he says, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Not through the blood of a lamb, but through my blood, through the blood of Christ. And in so doing, just as the people of Israel could look back and say, Passover, that formed us as a people. That's how we knew we were set apart for God. That's how God gave us a distinct identity, if you will. He brought us out of Egypt and he called us his own. So here also, Jesus is saying, I'm forming a new people. And it's not about that Passover night, first and foremost. First and foremost, it's about your relationship to me. And so as we take part in this meal, as Jesus offered this meal to his followers, we are invited into this new covenant that Jesus speaks about here. We commonly call this meal communion or the Lord's Supper. And what we affirm in this meal is that Jesus is the Lamb, that Jesus is the one God has provided for the salvation of his people. That's what this meal is about. And just as Israel needed to remember on a yearly basis, had to remember this is who we are. This is what God has done to set us free from our sin and from slavery. This is who we are. So we need continually to remember this is who we are. This is what defines us as a people of God. It's because of Jesus' body. It's because of Jesus' blood. Broken for us, shed for us, to save us from our sin. The scriptures tell us that the wages of that sin is death, not just physically, but eternally, to be separated from God forever. And just as the destroying angel went in and took the lives of Egypt's firstborns, so this eternal death claims the lives of all who are guilty of sin, unless God sees some blood upon the doorposts of our lives. Unless a perfect sacrifice has been offered for us, so that when God sees that sacrifice given on our behalf, he will pass over us. And what this meal declares most emphatically is that sacrifice is Jesus, his body broken for us, his blood shed for us. So this meal is an invitation, if you will, to apply the blood of Christ to the doorpost of our lives, to acknowledge our sin before a holy God, to repent of that sin, and in faith to come to the only one who has ever truly been able to eradicate that sin and give us his forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That one is the Son of God, the Lord and Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who sat down with his followers on this night and said, this is my body for you. This is my blood for you. I ask the musicians to come up. We're gonna sing one more song before we observe this meal together. It's about Jesus' blood, and after we do that, we will move into this meal together.
Yeah. can wash away my sin. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my part in this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
As Luke goes on to describe, the day immediately following the observance of this meal, Jesus goes on to act out exactly what he said he would do. He goes to the cross, and his body is broken, his blood is shed for us. And I encourage you at some point tomorrow to read that story. It's found Luke 23 primarily. That tells a story of what Jesus' death itself. I'd like to ask Dan and Dave Lepke to join me at the front right now. We have we've said that this meal, like Israel's Passover meal, it forms our identity. It tells us, it reminds us of who we are, of how we are Christians because of the body and the blood of Christ. And that means a couple things as we take part in this meal. First of all, this is a meal for us as believers. It's for all those who affirm Jesus is my Savior, who have repented of sin, said, Jesus, your blood alone is sufficient to cleanse me from my sin. So that's your faith tonight. And it doesn't matter whether you're part of this church or a member, it doesn't matter. If that's your faith, then you're welcome to join with us in this meal. This meal also tells us that we have been bound together. We've been made one by what Christ, we've been made a people together by what Christ has done in his broken body and his shed blood. And so that needs to be reflected in the way we live with one another. And so if there are things in your life, whether personally, that you want to take time as we pass out these elements to bring before God and say, God, I've sinned and I need your cleansing. We all need that. That's what this table is about. It's about God's cleansing. It's about his forgiveness given for us. So I invite you to take that opportunity as these elements are passed out to bring that before God and just know his cleansing. Something between you and another person that you need to approach them about, then you do that. And then let's partake of this meal together. So I'm going to ask Dan in a moment to give thanks for the body, and then the bread will be passed out. I'll ask you all to hold it until everybody has some, And then I'll read a scripture and we'll take part in it together. Dan.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this evening we want to thank you for the bread that you instituted it to your disciples back then in such a way that it would be carried on with other believers, and that it would show your broken body, that it would be an example, show your broken body. And you did that. You allowed your body to be broken. You hung on a cross and died for the sins of the whole world, for my sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for giving yourself so sacrificially and being the only one that could. We thank you that you did it for us. In Jesus' name, we pray.
When he had taken the bread, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Ask Dave to give thanks for the cup.
Father, we come before you this evening, unworthy of the grace and the mercy you have bestowed to us through the cross. nor through the law there's condemnation, but through the cross there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. We thank you for that blood that was shed to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteous doings. Lord, when John the Baptist presented you to his fellow disciples, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Today we thank you that you shed your blood as the Lamb was shed at the Passover and throughout history, and that day you fulfilled all that at the cross, shedding your blood so that we could be saved, that we could have eternal life, that we could have our sins forgiven, that we could have the power to forgive others. Thank you, Lord, for the blood that was shed. I pray that as we partake of it, we will also remember the purpose of it. In Jesus' name we pray.
Same way after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The scriptures tell us that after Jesus took part in this meal with his followers, they sang a hymn. And so we're going to do that as we close our time together. I think I'll let Chris lead us in that time.
Why don't we, we're going to sing number 74, Blessed Be the Tie That Binds. Why don't we, if we would like to all stand in the alleyway here, the hallway, and hold hands while we sing this song. I I'd hold your hand, but I have to hold the book.
Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above. Before our Father's throne, we pour our ardent prayers, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comforts and our cares. We share our mutual woes, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. When we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Amen.
God bless you. We are dismissed. We meet again on Sunday.